it's good to be here, and good to be encouraged by the Lord, isn't it? I want to think tonight about pressing on, and perhaps it's something that we've considered in a few formats recently, focusing on the future with Jesus, our Saviour. Ironically, I want to quote from an old song that we used to sing in the choir. So I'm talking about looking to the future by breaking my own rules first by looking back at what we did in the past. But never mind, we're starting with this. And the song said this: only one life, so soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one chance to do his will. So give to Jesus all your days. It's the only life that pays. When you recall you have but one life. Only what's done for Christ will last. And Billy talked about that this morning too, didn't he? You know, what are we building on? What's going to last? What is the rock? Jesus and his word, the gospel. The Amplified version of Philippians 3, verses 7 and 8 of our reading tonight is translated like this: but whatever former things were gains to me, as I thought then, these things, once regarded as advancements in merit, I have come to consider as loss, absolutely worthless, for the sake of Christ and the purpose which he has given my life. Isn't that lovely? The purpose which he has given my life. We can all attest to that too. But more than that, I count everything as loss compared to the priceless privilege and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and growing more deeply and thoroughly acquainted with him, a joy unequalled. For his sake, I have lost everything, and I consider it all garbage, so that I may gain Christ. But what was the two words just before that phrase, or three words, sorry, a joy unequalled. Knowing Jesus is a joy unequalled. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? You see, Paul had it, and I trust that we have it tonight. It's a new spiritual perspective, isn't it? We no longer look with our natural eyes and with our normal mind and insight, but it's a new spiritual insight and perspective that we're gaining in the Lord Jesus. What we have now is much better than what we used to have. But as our life is transformed, and as the Bible encourages us to have a mind renewed day by day, then it gets even better. And even then, Paul tells us that we've just got a deposit. It's just it's a great deposit. It's more than the 10% you need for the house. It's a great deposit, but it's going to be even better when we get to heaven. We've got a taster, if you like. The best is yet to come. I once saw a guy in concert called Joe English, and you probably will never have never heard of Joe English, but he used to be a drummer with Paul McCartney, and then he was saved, and he went round ministering, and he had concerts, and he was testifying to the fact that what he had now was far greater than what he had then. Despite all the fame and all the adulation and all of those things, in Jesus, it was far, far superior. And one song stood out to me, which was the title of which was this: "The best is yet to come." And one of the two lines, there's more than two lines, but two lines from that was, "The best is yet to come." And then he shouted out, "If you don't believe me, read it in your Bible." Because he was enthusiastic. He knew that what was going to happen in his life was even better than what had happened in the past. And that's the perspective we need, folks, isn't it? That's what we should be looking to, towards the Lord. The best is yet to come. Pressing ahead in the perfect direction, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the way our Father wants us to live. You know, that's a great contrast to the world, because the world often looks back. And as an example of this, And it sort of links in with what I've just said. Did you know? You probably didn't, because I didn't know this. But the Beatles song Yesterday has had 2,200 cover versions written of it and performed of it. It's the most re-recorded song ever. And my conclusion for that is people like to think about yesterday. People like to look back. People like to put on the rose-coloured spectacles and think, well, wasn't that great? And I'm not suggesting that some things aren't wonderful. And we can have a glance back, but let's look forward. That's what I want to think about tonight. Pressing on, looking forward. You know, he or she or they or whatever might not be here now, but the Lord's here. The Lord is here. So if he's here, then we've got a lot to look forward to, haven't we? You know, just a few here tonight, but I want to encourage us the fact that he is here. And he said that if two or three are here, he's there. Well, it's a lot more than two or three. So that means, wow, the Lord can do a lot. Look what he did with 12 lads around Galilee. Fantastic. The Lord can do mighty things. Our God is very much in the business of doing mighty things. Let's be encouraged in him. He saves us. He keeps us by his mercy. How wonderful he is. Ecclesiastes 3 is a well-known portion of scripture. And it talks about that there's a time for everything. To be born, to die, to plant, to uproot, to tear down, to build up, to weep, to laugh, to mourn, to dance. And then it gets to verse 14 and it says, I know that whatever God does, it endures forever. So when we're in God's will, then what we're doing will endure forever too. Isn't it great to be involved with something that lasts? It is. I know that whatever God does, it endures forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. For God does it all so that men will fear and worship him with awe-filled reverence, knowing that he is God. He is God. We know that, don't we? He is God. Our God knows the beginning from the end. He's got a perfect path for you and I. And yes, we're all, I trust, tonight on the same narrow way to heaven. But our paths might be slightly different. Our life might take us on a slightly different course to each other. Our joys might be different. Our disappointments might be different. But the Lord is with us. He knows the future. He can keep us in every single situation. Different challenges, different joys. He keeps us safe. He's the true and living way. You know, just a couple of weeks ago when I led for Norman, I mentioned about Isaiah 43. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do not perceive it. I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And incredibly, or perhaps not incredibly, if you think about it in terms of spiritual terms, Pastor Hayden mentioned the same passage the following weekend. And then Norman spoke along similar lines about going forward in God from Deuteronomy 4. And also referencing the previous chapter in chapter 3 and verse 3. It's great to get something new. Or to go to somewhere new, isn't it? Where did you go today? Oh, well, same old, same old. That's often said by a lot of us, isn't it, if we're honest? What did you do today? Oh, well, you know. But God wants us to look forward. You know, if we're going forward, then I'll suggest it's often stimulating in the natural, isn't it? If we're doing something different, it's stimulating the natural. God wants us to be stimulated. He wants us to grow. He wants us to advance. He wants us to step out. He wants us to be where he wants us to be. Occasionally, I go across to the Lake District and hike with Ross. And I have to say, it's getting harder every time I go across. Because he's getting stronger and I'm not as quick as I used to be. But a couple of years ago, we went across, I remember it specifically, and travelled, walked along the length of Thirlmere and up Helvellyn. And just in case you're interested, it's the third highest peak at 3,117 feet. There you go. It was canny hard because the terrain was all over the place. 7 miles, just over 4 hours. But it was great. It was a new experience. And you could look across and enjoy the experience. And it was a lovely day. It was a lovely day. At times it was tough, but you had to press on. At times it was easier, but you still had to press on. Because you didn't know when that, well, I did know, but I was worried in case I didn't get back before the parking ticket ran out. But you had to press on. You kept going. You were mindful of things like that. And we got back to the car after a while, and we had to press on because we needed to get home before it got too dark. Moving forward, yes, enjoy the experience. Take in the view. Be invigorated by the achievement. Enjoying each other's company. I trust we enjoy each other's company in the presence of the Lord. But still pressing forward. Still moving on. Still going on in the Lord. And I was thinking, because as this portion of scripture came to me, I did think, well, we've thought about this quite a lot recently. But perhaps the Lord, both as individuals and as a body of believers, is reminding us of this and underlining and emphasizing, telling us that we need to press on. He's making a way in the wilderness, bringing streams of life in a wasteland. And we look around and we sometimes think, this is a wasteland, this is desolate. Not in the church I'm talking about, but we look around outside or in the experiences that we have in life. But he can bring streams of life. The way speaks of progress, and the streams speak of that life that only he can give. The Lord, I'm sure, is wanting to give us a new blessing this year. Something new. We've got to be ready. And whilst it's right to remember and reflect on the good things that God's given us in the past, and what he's done for us as a fellowship and as Christians, as believers, question, is it right to over-fondly look at what has happened? And you can probably tell by the way I've phrased that, the answer I'm looking for. I'm leaning towards, well, okay, look, but don't let that be your focus. He is our focus. Who do we look to? We look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. There's absolutely nothing wrong in recognising the hand of God in a situation or in a person's life. And it's absolutely appropriate that we give praise and thanks to him at that point in time, isn't it? We're too quick to say, Lord, please help us, and too slow sometimes to stop and give thanks. I'm not saying that we shouldn't stop and give thanks. We should. You know, praise can emanate from recalling the goodness of God. It can rise up and swell from our hearts, can't it? A sweet-smelling savour to the Lord. How wonderful that is. But we must be careful not to dwell too much in the past, whether it be personally or corporately as a fellowship. You know, by inference, dwelling is somewhere you live, is somewhere you stay, is somewhere you stop. And the word says that we're strangers in this world, and our dwelling isn't here, it's in heaven. In Joshua 3, the Israelites have been told by God that he would drive out the Hittites and the Hivites and all the other ites of the land over the other side of the river. How? The Lord declared that he himself, his law and his promises, the Ark of the Covenant, would move ahead of them. Promises fulfilled and met by God himself. Isn't that wonderful? Promises fulfilled. We've been thinking recently how sure God's promises are. And they'll be fulfilled in him. And when the Israelites came to the mighty river Jordan, it was in full flood. Full flood. And the Ark of the Covenant was taken right to the centre of the river. And as the people passed by, they passed by on dry ground. Well, that was a miracle for a start, wasn't it? Hayden and the family won't be aware of this, but Norman used to have a little, it was a tongue-in-cheek book, but it was called the Geordie Bible. And one section was about Moses and his wellies. Not sure I can find it in this Bible. It's not in the NIV. But what a miracle. The people of Israel passed by on dry ground. Now, I've mentioned this before, but I think it bears repeating. Be assured of this. As you ever feel in harm's way, God's presence is there with you, right in the middle of it. Just as the Ark of the Covenant was right there at the time of insecurity or whatever, you know, what did the people think as we're looking around? God's presence is right there with you in the middle of it. We can be sure of that. Put your faith in him. He enables you to pass through it. And like I said the other Friday night, we don't bypass it necessarily. We pass through it. We pass through it. And give glory to him. Something that we thought about, as I say, from Psalm 34. This poor man cried out, and the Lord saved him from all his troubles. And as soon as Israel passed through, what was the word that was given to them? It was instructed by the Lord. 12 men, one from each tribe, took a single stone from the middle of the river and built them a memorial on the shore. A reminder to future generations of the great things that God had done. Fantastic. They could look back. But what did they do? They prepared themselves, they dedicated themselves to God, and they went to move on. Prepared, well, dedicated and prepared, we'll link them together. If we're dedicating ourselves, then we're preparing ourselves, aren't we? Moving forward. So, whilst we can and should celebrate the past, the way God is faithful, the way he's cared for us, the way we can call him Heavenly Father, the way we can cry out to him, the way our Lord Jesus saves us and saved us, the Holy Spirit inspires us, we shouldn't stop at a certain point just because it's a good place. What would have happened if the children of Israel had stopped at the side of the river and thought, well, this is great, this? They moved on to the promised land, and God's got some promises for us. So never, we don't want to be casual or dismissive, as I've said, regarding the goodness of God. But let's make sure that after we've lifted our hearts, given our praise, given our thanks, that we don't stop on the riverbank. That we don't dwell in the shoreline. Let's press on to the promised land. The best is yet to come in Jesus. I quoted from part of this chapter the other Friday night when I mentioned that we're jars of clay. We are jars of clay. But with God's power and presence inside us, I'd like to read a little bit more from 2 Corinthians. Paul's been writing in chapter 3 about the glory of the new covenant, the new promises in Christ. Isn't that great? Something new. Way. It's good to get something new, isn't it? Just ask Marco. He needs new clothes every other week because he's grown. Talking about a new covenant, new promises in Christ. The fact that whilst just as Moses' face shone when he was leaving God's presence and then faded, so in comparison, the old covenant of Levitical law faded, or fades in comparison with what? A new and living way. Isn't that wonderful? We've got a new and living way in Jesus. Remember, Jesus is the way. Norman mentioned that last week. I think Billy mentioned it this morning. Paul goes on to challenge us to be people transformed day by day, being renewed. Reflecting God's glory, being transformed into his likeness. All about changing, moving forward, progressing. And he moves on to chapter 4. Paul emphasizes some essentials in Christian life. We are alive through God's mercy. Isn't that right? Nothing of our own doing. We've repented, it says, about renouncing secret and shameful ways. We believe in the truth of God's word. Jesus is God's son. He was born, he lived as a perfect man. He died in our place on the cross. He rose again, defeating sin and death. We believe that it's by believing in Jesus and him only we can repent and gain forgiveness of sins because of his sacrifice. We know that this is the true gospel. Billy mentioned that this morning. The true gospel that Paul charges us to what? Speak plainly, boldly, openly. A challenge to us all. So, that's the prefix. Verses 3 to 6 says this. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but who? Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He's shining in our hearts, folks. It's not just a change or a transformation. It's completely new. Peter Spearman used to say this often, didn't he? Darkness to light. But it's true. There are no grey areas. Completely floodlit in Jesus. And so many people in this world are blinded to the truth, oblivious to the fact that without the saving grace of Jesus in their lives, they cannot move forward. And this again links in with what Billy said this morning. They have a form of godliness, or they're seeking this, or they're seeking that. But it is Jesus who makes a difference. They live in spiritual darkness, and they're destined for an awful place called hell. Jesus came as the light of the world. Isn't that great? Jesus came as the light of the world. In the same chapter, verses 16 to 18, we've skipped a few, but verses 16 to 18 goes on to encourage the believer and to emphasise what is really important. It says this, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day, for these light, momentary afflictions is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Everlasting. Will never wear out. Or for us who believe. Looking. Pressing on. And this resonates, doesn't it, with the earlier passage from Philippians. "I count everything as loss compared with knowing Christ Jesus." Whilst in this passage, Paul underlines what is really real. And what is really real? Is this really? Well, I guess it is real, but it's transient. The things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Lord, help us to press forward and look to those eternal things. Look with our hearts and our minds, as Ephesians, yes, are set on heavenly things, things above, not on the things of the earth. Folks, we need to look at eternal values, not temporary betterment. Everlasting peace, not a quick fix. Permanent redemption from sin, because so many will just try a sticking plaster, a philosophy, or self-help. We talked about that this morning, self-reliance. We need to look and to know Jesus, a true anchor for the soul. The Hebrew writer in chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Keep on keeping on, pressing forward. And Paul goes on to remind us in Philippians that he's not made it yet. He's not perfect. And we can all say that too. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, the J.B. Phillips translation uses these words: "Yet, my brothers, I do not consider myself to have arrived spiritually, nor do I consider myself already perfect. But I keep going on, grasping even more firmly that purpose for which Christ grasped me. My brothers, I do not consider myself to have fully grasped it even now, but I do concentrate on this. I leave the past behind, and with hands outstretched to whatever ever lies ahead, I go straight for the goal. My reward, the honour of being called by God in Christ. I go straight for my goal. Hands outstretched." Hands outstretched. Just a couple of more things, because time is gone. When David Dando spoke at his ministry weekend we had a few years ago, he spoke from 1 Kings 7. And in verse 21, regarding Solomon's temple for God, it said, "He erected the pillars at the portico of the temple. The pillar to the south he named Jachin, and the one to the north Boaz." And the meaning of those, David expanded and expounded substantially, but was essentially this: it is God who establishes, in him is strength. It is God who establishes, thank the Lord for what he's done, but in him is strength. Let's press on to what he has for us. Just want to have one more scripture, and it's already been used. You know, when I'm going through the Old Testament at the moment, and there's some heavy stuff, I have to say. There's some tough stuff. As you go through Ecclesiastes, there's a lot of wisdom, but it's wisdom from a worldly point of view to a certain extent. If you look at Proverbs, there's wisdom, but it's godly wisdom. And that's what we want. Hayden quoted from this, and I want to close as I quote from it again. Isaiah 40, 27 to 31. "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Lord, that there might be more working in your spirit, living in your spirit, that it won't be weary, that it will be encouraged to press forward. So let's continue to press on, to look forward, to follow God's guidance by the grace that Jesus gives us, moving forward in the Spirit. Amen.